His ability to create separation, you know, he does such a great job at that. He's such a student of the game. He's a smart guy. You know, he played with Teddy Bridgewater in high school. So I've been from South Florida. I've obviously followed Amari for a while. And Coach and Teddy used to always talk about him, just the type of how cerebral he is and how he understands leverages and how to attack it, and really good and strong hands. And so he has a unique skill set, something that with some traits of guys that we have on our team, some that we don't, you know, and it'll be excited to be able to work with him and figure out, you know, how it's all going to kind of work in our offense.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady has a new piece to mix in with his offensive attack. Amari Cooper, acquired from the Bills. We've learned, we did a little digging on whether or not Cooper could factor into the compensatory pick formula, and it does not look like it because of void years.
I think it's because of void years.
Void years on a contract mean you are not part of the compensatory pick formula. So if you were to leave and sign somewhere else, the Bills do not get a compensatory pick, as I understand it. On the Western Hotline, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Joe, I learned this morning that you've been a big Amari Cooper fan for many years. So the Bills acquiring him is good on both fronts.
Yeah, I've been a big Amari Cooper fan, and I think most people know that I do the Locked On Bills podcast, but I also have another daily podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting, where I cover the entire league along with Kyle Kraft, so I know he's been on the station before. And we actually have a running joke that this is a pro Amari Cooper podcast. We've always been big fans of him. We just kind of feel like he's been an underrated player in the NFL that just is a natural wide receiver that can run routes and good hands and ball skills and concentration and can kind of, in moments, make a play. And I feel like he's been underrated. It's kind of crazy that this is not like the fourth time he's been traded. He's been a really good player. He's got 1,100 yards for the last five seasons. So it's pretty cool for him to now be a Buffalo Bill.
So let's talk about the fit. I mean, going out and getting a wide receiver, we spent a lot of time in the offseason talking about drafts and what they could do. This is a fit that, you know, whatever, say what you will about the player. He might not be perfect. He's a big, big upgrade and represents what they needed so desperately.
Yeah, I think that's how you have to look at it. It's, okay, the difference between Amari Cooper and Mac Hollins or Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Keon Coleman, it's pretty significant. And I feel like that absolutely elevates this passing offense. And you think about your options with 11 personnel and however you want to deploy him. He's a guy that's played 80% of his snaps out wide so far in the NFL, and there's proof of concept with him. And I think it's really helpful that he's a guy that's been traded before. He's had production with so many different quarterbacks, whether it's Joe Flacco or Jacoby Brissett or Dak Prescott or Derek Carr. Like, he's been able to be productive in a lot of different environments with a lot of different quarterbacks. And so I know the big challenge is getting him in the building and getting up to speed and developing chemistry with Josh Allen, as Josh Allen's still working on chemistry with other weapons. So there's a lot to, you know, it's a heavy lift here, but yeah, elevating and upgrading from what was in place is pretty significant.
How do you think the chemistry will work? Like, the type of receiver Cooper is for the type of thrower quarterback that Allen is, because, you know, I've been joking for the last 2 days that Allen, to his core, is going to look for who's farthest down the field. That's what he does. You know, like, the throw to Ray Davis is like, that guy's there, I'll take it. And Cooper is a guy that has been a depth of target down the field guy. And this offense, I mean, you know, you've got your shot plays occasionally, but it tends to be more of a shorter passing game offense. So how does it all mix together? And how do you feel like Allen and Cooper's games match?
Yeah, I don't think Amari Cooper is going to come in and be a big-time field stretcher for the Bills. And I think that's, you know, maybe earlier in his career that was more of what he did, but I don't know that he's still the low 4.4 guy that he was in 2015. I still think he's a good route technician. And so, to your point, the Bills are kind of choosy with their shot plays, which doesn't necessarily line up with the frequency that Josh Allen throws the ball down the field. And so I think where Cooper's really going to be an asset is in the intermediate areas, where you just need a guy to go get a bucket, to run a route, to uncover, to be a route technician and separate. And I feel like in a lot of ways that, I mean, I'm very carefully bringing up this name, I don't want to go crazy here, but I think in a lot of ways that you saw Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen be productive, it mirrors a lot of what I'm expecting from Cooper. And I think Diggs wasn't necessarily a big-time vertical field stretcher for the Bills, but uncovering in that intermediate range, I feel like Cooper is that. And I think Cooper is one of the better route runners throughout the last, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in the NFL. And so, again, not the explosive, quick-twitch guy that maybe he was early on, but still a route technician that understands how to get open and present an available target, which, let's be honest, is exactly what Josh Allen needs and kind of lacks right now.
How much of his down year, Joe, do you put on just his situation in Cleveland versus him being a little diminished from what he was?
Yeah, that Cleveland Browns offense is an absolute joke. I mean, Deshaun Watson's not a playable quarterback. The Browns are just in a really bad spot with that contract, the commitment they have based on the trade. And honestly, I think they're in trouble. I don't know how you look at the other 52 guys in that locker room and honestly tell them that Deshaun Watson gives you the best chance to win a football game. They've invested in quarterback depth. I don't know why they're not using it. I'm guessing there's a lot of ownership influence in that decision. But Watson can't play. I mean, if anyone's watched him this year, it's a joke. I mean, historically bad in terms of being able to get first downs. And every dropback looks the same, where he takes the ball and can't find anybody and runs around and usually either gets sacked or throws it away or it's incomplete. It's embarrassing. And so to come up with any takeaways this year for Amari Cooper in that offense, I don't think he can do it.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Let's talk a little about Ray Davis as well, who we saw on Monday night look really, really strong in this Bills offense. What kind of match do you think that is for the style of run game the Bills have? And is this a player you would want to see get a consistent role in this offense going forward?
Absolutely. I think the physicality that Ray Davis brought to the table was significant. The yards after contact was significant. And I think he can be a very nice complement to James Cook. And James Cook, 5'11", 190 pounds. That's a slender build from a running back. He's a good player. He's a slashing style guy. He's got good agility. He's a good back, but he doesn't bring a physical presence. And I think you can get that physicality out of a Ray Davis who's, you know, a tick under 5'9 and 215 pounds and naturally has a low center of gravity and runs with low pads and he speaks with his pads. And I think you got a great opportunity for a 1-2 punch here with those two guys. And I would get them both going. I think that the Bills offense will be at its best when they're both going. And I think, you know, even James Cook, for the amount of volume that he had last year, I thought he was least effective when the Bills needed him most late in the season, those last couple of regular season games, the playoff games. And so I think you do yourself a major service by involving Ray Davis. And I think that allows you to maximize the backfield tandem and recognizing that they have complementary skill sets. And you that physical element matters. And Ray Davis certainly provided it. And I think anybody that watched a game could feel that on Monday night.
We might feel like the offense looks like a complete version of what it can be this year right now. Defensively, Joe, they're getting big plays, but there are some red flags about the number of chunk plays that they are giving up. And it can't make Sean McDermott happy how often they are giving up big chunk plays. Do you see anything in the way that they're playing that is leading to the number of explosive plays against?
Yeah, you know what? It's a lot of short passes that are turning into long gains. You know, it's some of it is throws down the field, but I think a lot of it is just getting dinked and dunked and getting gashed through that. I'll give you some numbers here. 55.8% of all passing yards against the Bills this year come after the catch, sixth most in the NFL, despite the eighth lowest average depth of target. The Bills defense is 25th in EPA on throws under 10 air yards. And the average separation, according to Next Gen Stats, on throws under 10 air yards is 4.5 yards of separation, which is the most in the NFL. They're just not playing very tight coverage on these short throws, and then they're getting creased after the catch. And so I feel like when you consider when the Bills' defense has been at its worst this year, early against Arizona, early against Miami, at times against the Jets, it's whenever quarterbacks are getting the ball out of their hands quickly and then guys are able to create. Or you think about the screen game. The Bills continue to get gashed on screens. And so teams are making it a space game. You know, the Bills have always been very oriented in taking away explosives down the field. And I think teams are saying, okay, yeah, we get that. We're gonna make you play in space and come off tackle, come off blocks and take good angles and tackle. And the Bills have been very inconsistent with that. And I think a lot of that is just guys missing time. You know, Bernard missed several weeks. Darren Johnson missed several weeks. Rapp missed a week. And I think those players all played well against the Jets. Don't get me wrong. But I think whenever you're out of game rhythm and you're all of a sudden now having to get yourself back in position to take properly calculated pursuit angles and playoff contact and position yourself to tackle in space, I think, you know, sometimes you can get out of rhythm with that. And so I think some of the inconsistency with the personnel availability in the back seven has contributed to that. But I think a lot of these plays are coming catch and run, and the Bills got to shore up their ability to play in space and tackle and get off contact.
Going back to Monday night for a moment, Joe, the end of the half, what was the thing that stuck out to you the most about how they played or what happened on the final series of the Jets and the Hail Mary?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the series because I think everyone's talking about the Hail Mary. I want to talk about the play before as well, where they also rush two and drop nine. On that play, Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa are your safeties? Are you kidding me? What purpose do they serve 20 yards off the ball? It's unfathomable to me. It's my total exception with everything is that you rush two. I know everyone wants to talk about knock down the ball. I get it. That's important too. But how does a Hail Mary work? Two elements have to happen. Number one, you have to have time for the receivers to get to the end zone. Number two is your quarterback needs space to throw the ball. When you rush two, you give them those two things on a platter. You give it to them right on a platter. And then there's just variance. Okay, maybe they catch it. Maybe there's a pass interference and they get a free down at the one. You got to take yourself in a position where they can't even get to throw off. I'd rather rush five than rush two in a Hail Mary situation. So the Bills got to ask themselves some hard questions about how they choose to align defensively in these end-of-half sequences because they're making it way too easy on these offenses.
Yeah, the play before, there are 14 seconds left, and I'm sitting there thinking, 13 seconds is a famous giving up a field goal, and with 14 seconds, they give up a touchdown. So like the play before is the one that gets them into Hail Mary range, and to have played that one that way is equally as horrible.
Yeah, I sent a text message to Bruce Nolan during right after that play. I said, you can't rush two and drop nine and give up that 14-yard completion to Garrett Wilson. And then they did it again. And what's funny, Bruce responded to me with some laughing emojis. And I was like, I wasn't even talking about the Hail Mary. Yeah. I was talking about the 14-yarder to Garrett Wilson. I can't understand it. And they talk about protecting the sidelines. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You never rush to. You can't rush to and expect to be successful on defense.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. Joe, thanks as always. We'll chat next week after Tennessee.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Joe Marino, you can subscribe to the Locked On Bills podcast and Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, where you get your podcast, right through the Odyssey app or anywhere else.
How many people just realize they play Tennessee this week?
Yeah. Titans.
The Titans.
I mean, the Titans defense is good.
The Titans defense is very good, and their quarterback is going to watch Josh Allen, and he is going to do some wild things.
Yes, he's going to try to Mortal Kombat somebody's spine out of their body. He's going to do some weird stuff, Will Levis. The Titans defense gives up the fewest yards per game in the NFL. Might be who they played. Again, we're still kind of early. We'll get a break in more of your phone calls. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff coming up next hour as well, and Howard picks the Bills. All coming up here on WGR.